something that's really exciting is when my wife and I launched our business, we always dreamed that we'd be able to donate a full house to Unbound that they could use for whatever they need. And one of our general contractors in Waco beat us to the punch. And so there's a house that's been donated to Unbound. And what it's going to be able to do is house up to 6 girls that were victims of commercial sex trafficking in the foster care system.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Tyler Goble is a data-driven real estate investor whose mission is to utilize real estate investing to eradicate the modern-day slavery of human trafficking alongside Unbound Now. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sam. Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for having me on, brother.
Pleasure's all mine. There's 3 questions I ask every guest who comes to the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell us where you started, where you are now, and how you got there?
Yeah, so I started in North Carolina, actually. I'm an active Marine. And so my first properties I bought were in North Carolina. And then I got orders out to Monterey, California, where I'm currently getting a master's degree in operations research, which is like a data science, machine learning, artificial intelligence degree. And so that's what I'm doing currently. But once we got out here, and I'm sure we'll get into it, we realized that real estate was going to be more than a hobby for us, my wife and I. And so we decided to launch our business, LTG Investments, at that point. And we're buying homes and other types of real estate anywhere within arm's reach of Waco, Texas. And so that's where we're at right now. And the big driving force behind it, we were talking a little bit before we hit record, but we're partnered with a nonprofit called Unbound Now. And they are an anti-human trafficking nonprofit. And so kind of the catalyst for our journey was realizing, man, like we need to make a lot more money because this organization needs more funding. They need more awareness in order to accomplish what they're trying to do. So that's it in a nutshell, I guess you could say. Hopefully that was 90 seconds or less.
You did pretty good. That's a lot of moving parts. And I'd love to kind of dig into a few of those. So you're still an active duty Marine. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, yep. Cool. And then you're also in school full time.
Sure am.
All right. And then so you're also a full-time investor doing out-of-state real estate, doing mostly single-family houses, or are you doing multifamily as well?
So we're doing single-family, but we're also, I'm not as interested right now in apartment complexes. It just doesn't, I don't wake up in the morning and go, man, multifamily apartment complex, I would love to have whatever units. We are dabbling in the hospitality space. So we're grinding. We've been grinding on a deal for like 5 months. And I'm sure by the time this releases, we'll know whether or not it actually closes. But really, we're staying geographically focused. So all things real estate inside the Waco, Texas market.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Let's back that up a little bit. First is, how did you select Waco?
So that is where our nonprofit is headquartered. So that's where Unbound Now is physically. And so that's like an intangible reason, right? So I've got a really great network in Waco. My father-in-law is full-time with our business as well. So he does all the project management, construction management, all that kind of stuff. Got which it. Is huge, right. Obviously, right? If you're doing this out of state and you also have a W-2. But from a data perspective, right? Like, so I talked about being a data-driven guy, doing data science as a field. I've written some code that'll pull information down from realtor.com, Zillow, Census, all that kind of stuff, and kind of suck it down from the internet, mash it all up, and then print out some graphs and charts for me to kind of analyze things. And I've advised on a couple luxury home purchases in Marco Island, Florida. So it's like the code itself is very agnostic to the location you're in. All I need is what location you want to look at. And even after kind of scouring the United States using this thing and scraping off a lot of data from all over the US, Texas, just like everybody's always saying, is just an incredible market right now. And our feeling is that Waco hasn't been tapped to its full potential yet. Right. So you're seeing Dallas and Austin are just blowing up. But there's one common denominator between Dallas and Austin, and that's Waco, if you know where that is geographically on the map. Basically, Texas, I-35 cuts it north-south, and Waco smack dab in the middle of all that. And so we're going all in on that market.
That's fantastic. I love that. Talk to us, data science. I mean, I don't even know what that means. I mean, I can barely use email. So break it down for a guy that's not real bright.
Yeah. So, I mean, data science is, think large spreadsheets that when you try to open those things, they crash your computer. And so it's a way to get at nuances and patterns and predictive analytics, that kind of thing, inside of larger data. And you use various tools, whether it's computer code or just understanding how to clean certain data. And a good example is this hospitality deal that we're trying to take down, we're in like the fourth quarter here. So we'll see if it happens. So maybe be a celebration when I hear this thing air that we closed, but the data that we got was just very, very dirty, right? So like their booking data had just letters and numbers that didn't actually add up to anything, but to them it made sense, mom and pop run, right? But using data science techniques, you can take 3 years worth of that data, and instead of you manually going in and plugging in, this means a one, you go in there and you clean the whole thing with a couple keystrokes. And so it just enables me to be a little bit faster than most folks. And when you look at, you're in the multifamily space, it sounds like, right? In commercial real estate, you see those different brokerages like Yardie and CRB and all those kinds of folks. They have guys like me on the inside sucking down the same data sources that I'm using and just making them into nice, pretty graphs. And so it's all free data for the most part that you're seeing in a lot of those printouts. It's just they've got data science folks on the back end formulating those into the nice charts and graphs that you're used to seeing on Proformas and whatnot.
Right. That's really interesting. What are some things, you know, that you've used on the single family side? Like, what were some key points that you said, all right, these are the pieces that I think are really important that I want to filter out all the noise from so I can pull that data out and say, yes, this is a go, no go, make a buy, don't buy decision.
Yeah. So the buy, don't buy decision is a great way to put it. I like to think of myself as like the big red button guy. And so I do all the finances for our business. My wife does all the design work, architecture type stuff. And then my father-in-law makes sure it all actually happens. And so with the data science and with that kind of thing, I'm able to really get a feel down to the neighborhood level, down to the zip code level of what house prices are doing in different markets. And so the way we try to structure ourselves is we know in like the 1111 zip code, median house price is 250,000.
Right.
So we want to be buying houses that are just slightly below that median house price. So we want to have our houses being or selling for 240, 245. Right. On our underwriting, that way we're able to capture the largest buyer pool. And so, but that number is constantly going up and down. So like that 250 right now, a year and a half, 2 years ago, was probably more like 225, 220. And so we just kind of keep our finger on the pulse and see where things are moving as far as sales price goes, but then also inventory, right? And so I think there's a lot of folks saying that there's going to be some sort of huge real estate crash or something crazy is about to happen. But at least in our markets, I don't really see that right now in the data, because it seems like a very true supply and demand problem. Like right now in Waco, for example, we're still seeing about a month's worth of inventory. And that's been true for about a year and a half at this point. And so looking at stuff like that, looking at those metrics, you can kind of hedge your risk and make sure that you're not the one that's buying at the top of the market or buying when, man, I thought this thing was going to sell, but it turns out there's now 6 months inventory on the market. So that kind of stuff is what gives you really the confidence to make pull the trigger on certain things from a broader perspective.
So you have a house, median sales price is 250, and you say, all right, I know that I need to be buying houses for whatever it is, half of that plus repairs. You know, so like you could do the old 70% minus repairs rule, which I'm not sure if you can still do that in the Waco market or not. That number kind of crept up to 80 or 85, I think, at one point. But,
well, there's people buying for prices that just don't make sense, but we're staying disciplined, you know, because there's a lot of folks in Texas, I think right now that are buying based on that appreciation hope. Right. And I call it hope because it's like, you should not be basing your anything off of hope. We always base our comps off of the last 3 to 6 months. And so when you're doing that, you tend to blow your projections out of the water right now. So you look like the smartest person in the world, but so far everything's been beating our underwriting just because we were conservative on the upfront. And that's the great buzzword in real estate right now is conservative underwriting, but truly we are, and it's been paying off, which has been really nice.
Right. Right. And I would assume, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but you guys aren't syndicating this. You're not raising tens of millions of dollars for these opportunities. So you can say it's conservative because it's your own probably pot of money, maybe some friends and family, but you're not, am I missing something there?
I mean, we're all private financed. I haven't used anyone that's related to me for private funds. It's all been friends and just folks that are on board with the mission that we're trying to accomplish with the business. And we've just been very blessed with that. We've probably put about, actually, I just did like a year wrap up. We're recording this thing just in the first week of January. So we've put about 550 grand of private money through our flips at this point.
Okay.
And so that's really how we do it. We either buy it all in private money up front and then do a really quick refinance with our local bank, portfolio lender in Waco. Or if the term is long enough, then we just need the money for holding costs, down payment, and then the rest of it's bank finance. So
That's awesome. Let's talk about your nonprofit, Unbound Now. I'd love to spend the rest of the show just kind of talking about what you guys are doing with that, some of the successes you're having with it, and maybe some of the headwinds that you're facing there as well.
Yeah. I mean, the success, it's been so cool. Kind of going back to why we decided to professionalize the business instead of just buying a house every now and then and renting it out and doing that whole thing. Why we wanted to kind of be a little faster was when we moved out here to California, we sold off our portfolio in North Carolina. Mm. And my wife and I, we've been married for quite a while now. It's been about 2 years. And so tons of marriage experience. And it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago when we sold those houses. And I'm also a Christian. And so if you're not familiar with the tithing principle, basically, it's like you're supposed to give away at least 10% of your money to a nonprofit or to the church or something like that.
Sure.
And my wife and I were trying to figure out where we would want to give money from a real estate perspective, because it's not your traditional paycheck. It doesn't come in every 2 weeks. It's kind of ebbs and flows. So it's like a larger chunk of money that just happens to you, right?
Right.
And so my wife suggested that we give to Unbound. And Unbound was founded by my mother-in-law. And so from my perspective, I had no idea whether she was just running this thing out of the basement with a laptop and sending out a newsletter. Like, I didn't really know anything about what she was really doing. Lo and behold, it's like a multinational nonprofit that's doing some like incredible work. They head up the Heart of Human Trafficking Coalition in Texas. So like they're a very big player in this game. But I didn't know that up front. And so we gave about $2,500 to Unbound from one of our flips in North Carolina. And I didn't really think much of it. I was like, okay, that's probably, I don't know what that will really do. Maybe it'll pay for lunch at some point. Like, that doesn't seem like a large sum of money to me.
Right.
And so we gave it, and my mother-in-law called us and said, Tyler, like, this is awesome. Just so you understand, like, for $5,000, that'll pay for a full year's salary of a worker abroad that works in a country like Mongolia, who all they do is they work at truck stations, bus stops, train stations, all those different transportation type of hubs. And they're just snatching people that are being sold into slavery in China. And mentioned before my Marine Corps background, so I kind of have a little bit of a peek behind the curtain about countries like China and what's going on inside those borders. And it's horrible. You know, it's like very, very bad things are happening to people in those countries. There's been other podcasts, like, I don't know if you listen to Jordan Peterson at all, or Joe Rogan talking to defectors from North Korea, that a lot of things that happen out of North Korea is they get sold into slavery in China. So they escaped North Korea just to get sold into slavery in China. And so when she said that, I was like, man, like, holy cow, like $2,500, like, that was from a flip that we didn't really, it was a live-in flip, you know? It was something that we just kind of did because we needed a place to live and wanted to be nice.
Right.
And so I was like, man, what if we just did that each year? What if we could fund half a salary each year? And then my data science brain kind of started working. I was like, you know, like, if you're going to do one, you might as well do two. Like, you can do one, you can do two.
Sure.
It's like, well, if you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ask for milk, right? And so once that thought process and the spreadsheet started rolling, I was like, you know what? Like, screw that. We're going to do this now. We're not going to wait X, Y, and Z number of years to make a difference here. We're going to do it now. And so that's what we did. And we're just trying to pump as much funds and awareness through Unbound as possible. And the things that they focus on is they do a lot of prevention training. So they're the kind of folks that will go into schools, hospitals, really the prevention is more in schools, and kind of educate youth about the different ways that trafficking can happen. Because contrary to popular belief, there's not somebody usually running around like with a white van, just like kidnapping kids off playgrounds, right? A lot of it happens through grooming, through social media, all that kind of stuff. And so they play a huge part in teaching kids what to look out for, how to guard their hearts and that kind of stuff. Then they do professional training. So they'll teach the teachers, they'll teach doctors what kind of signs to look for, all those different types of things that really decision makers with these different kinds of like roles can understand, like, hey, they come in and they start talking like this, you might want to ask these questions and see if there's something going on that's a little deeper than I just skinned my knee at recess or something like that, you know?
Right.
And then the third thing they do is advocacy. So that's like aftercare. And that's something that is really, I think, important too. And something that's really exciting is when my wife and I launched our business, we always dreamed that we'd be able to donate a full house to Unbound that they could use for whatever they need. And one of our general contractors in Waco beat us to the punch. And so there's a house that's been donated to Unbound. And what it's going to be able to do is house up to 6 girls that were victims of commercial sex trafficking in the foster care system. And so just yesterday, my mother-in-law was saying, like, man, we've got girls that we need a place that we can't. But when this house is done, we'll have a place to put them. And so it's the first of its kind in Central Texas, which is crazy. You would think there'd be more, but kind of to the point, it's like just such a large need. And Unbound is doing like an incredible, incredible job of meeting that need. But just like anything, like the biggest challenge is they need more funding because they do such great work. And something I've found with nonprofits is some of the best ones are the ones you haven't heard of because they use all their money on the work, you know? Like there's no marketing budget for them because in their minds, it's like, why would I spend $5,000 on a Facebook campaign when I could pay $5,000 and I'd be saving multiple girls a day in Mongolia that are being sold to slavery.
Right.
They just had another big, like essentially from, I think it was from Myanmar, like 175 women saved out of brothels. Very similar to how you're seeing like the Afghanistan evacuations happen where people are just getting on planes. Exact same concept, just with a brothel in Myanmar. So it's crazy the stuff that's going on. Like I've got pictures of my mother-in-law, like a lot of times Unbound will go on the stings with law enforcement. So they partner with law enforcement oftentimes. And something that's really traumatic for survivors is these stings will happen. Everybody gets arrested, including them, you know? And it's like, that's terrible. Like these are victims that need to be cared for. And so Unbound will partner with law enforcement. And I'm also an infantry officer, so by trade. So that's like usually what I was like trained to do is like go kick in doors, right? And it's funny to imagine being in the stack on a door, having my mother-in-law in the back of the stack, and you kick it in. And then she goes in after everybody's been cleared and goes and cares for the victims. And her staff does that stuff too. So it's crazy. It's a powerful image and gives me goosebumps talking about it a lot. So,
man, that's cool to have such a motivating why as part of your real estate investing business. Tyler, I've really enjoyed this. Thanks for sharing the inside look on your business, on how to use data inside of your business. And then also, again, you know, really talking about why you do what you do. I think that's absolutely fantastic and hope that you have continued success in that. Look forward to seeing where you're going here in the next few years. Let's jump into the final four questions. The first one is this: what is one tool or resource you find you can't live without?
And I love PropStream. I think PropStream is a great tool, $99 a month, unless you can get an affiliate code from somebody. But from a data perspective, I think they do a pretty good job. Sometimes it's a little outdated, but it'll get you with a very reasonable degree of certainty what your comps are in those areas for different things. From a commercial real estate perspective, a tool that I really like using is the Census Bureau. The Census Bureau has got a lot of really good information on it for demographics, jobs. Bureau of Labor Statistics does a really good job with employment numbers for folks if you're more looking for specific, very localized market data.
Yeah, all those are good. They're a trick to the Census Bureau and the Bureau of Labor Statistics, if I could speak today, are a little bit tricky to figure out how to navigate because it's like, wait, once you figure it out, yeah, you're absolutely right. Those are super helpful. When it comes to investing in real estate, what is one mistake you could help our listeners avoid?
Man, the deals are going to come. Don't get greedy. So we've only bought one. I think that's an absolute dog, but I can go back in time and go, you know, the reason we bought that is because we really wanted a deal right then. And so it's funny. I think we've been very blessed and deals have found their way to us just staying consistent. And so don't think that the deal that's in front of you is the last deal that's ever going to be there because that's just not true.
Sound advice. And I know you answered this question probably already based on our previous conversation, but when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Yeah, we're trying to end slavery. So we're not the ones doing the work, but we're supporting the folks that are doing it. And so right. Unbound now.
That's awesome. Tyler, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
LinkedIn, just Tyler Goble on LinkedIn or Facebook as well. I deleted Instagram off my phone. I was wasting way too much time on it. And so I feel bad sometimes. I'll re-download it every 2 weeks or so and I'll see DMs and I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't have this on my phone anymore. But yeah, LinkedIn or my email is just tyler@ltginvestments.com.
Awesome. Tyler, thank you for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.